Don't start yet. I'm starting the stream. Okay.
Welcome to MGO Radio
5.
5.
Year 5.
5.
Yeah.
5.0. It's been... feels longer than that. I'm very tired, as I am always when we do this.
That's why I do this. I make sure I schedule Bacon on the first one.
So I can just call him Dave Brandon
exactly.
To his face. Yeah. Michigan football 2019.
It sounds good.
It's You know, you get to this point in the season, and I used to get, like, excited for the season, and now I don't because I have a 50,000-word deadline every August. But I understand some other people are excited about the upcoming season, and we are here to fulfill your need for content.
And we're here thanks to some people, aren't we?
Yes. We should thank our sponsors, Homeshore Lending, the Residents Inn, Ann Arbor Downtown, the University of Michigan Alumni Association, Peak Wealth Management, Human Element, Michigan Law Grad, the Phil Klein Insurance Group, Fuego Box, Ann Arbor Elder Law, and Perrin Brewing.
Yeah, they provide beer. We're also brought to you by the Bow Store and Underground Printing.
Right. Did I skip that one?
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm very tired.
But we also have some Perrin Brewing beer here, so if you want to...
Can I drink those?
You are welcome to them.
I think I deserve a cold one.
Have a cold one, please. All the people who joined us can have a cold one,
too. But the only problem is that I can't have a cold one and also talk.
We'll do it during the break,
Yeah. So I got through my season preview.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the schedule. I'm trying to put together my predictions, and I remember that there are game of the year lines.
Yeah.
So I go and I find game of the year lines from July, and they're terrifying. Because it's like, yeah, Michigan's a 15-point favorite over, was it Penn State? No, it was
Iowa or something?
So there are it was Michigan State. They're a 15.5-point favorite over Michigan State.
I could believe that.
They're a touchdown favorite at Wisconsin. They're a touchdown favorite against Notre Dame. They're 14 or 16-point favorite against Penn State if you extrapolate from the other lines, because Michigan versus Penn State was not on there. They're favorite in every game. I mean, Ohio State games is a pick 'em, but then it's Michigan minus 3.5 because it's a home.
They also have to get a quarterback all the way through a college football season.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just looking at these, and I'm just like, oh, no. This is too much.
Well, the Wisconsin game, I remember, was oddly the... other than Ohio State, like the closest one to a
loss. Road game, and it's there's like two games that are -7, and that's Michigan State, Notre Dame, and Wisconsin. I kind of feel like that is overrating Wisconsin significantly.
So the reason they were bad last year is over, but like the reason they're going to be bad this year is different.
Well, I mean, it depends a lot on. So Jack Cohn is their quarterback. He was awful last year, but their receivers were so bad that they couldn't get any separation. And now with Quintez Cephas back, like how quickly can they reintegrate him into the team? How quickly is he going to be a factor?
I don't know how fast a receiver can pick stuff up, but his...
Well, I mean, but he was a starter for...
Yeah, and
it's not like Wisconsin's offense has changed in the last 50 years.
I mean, his thing is you go downfield and be huge because like he's a jump ball dude. Like
he's a little bit more than that. I think that he's...
He's a solid NFL prospect. I don't want to like just say he's a...
But we're talking about
Mo Ways.
You know, Jack Cohn, they're replacing a lot of guys. So I kind of feel like even the games that are reasonably close in terms of spread, like I kind of feel like a couple of them are like not as intimidating as Vegas thinks right now.
And well, we said that last year.
And it turned out to be true.
Right, and we just romped through it until, we would romp through everybody.
Yeah, and so the thing is that... Man, this looks like another year like last year where it's like, okay, they're going to win 10 games. They might win 11. And then the identity of the two losses or one loss is everything.
So I'm like...
And so Michigan had like the least satisfying 10-3 season ever because they lose to Notre Dame. They get hammered by Ohio State. And then they kind of go out and lay out an egg in the bowl game.
Right.
And it's just so...
Which was the Ohio State hangover.
Right, and like nobody cares, and everybody goes to the NFL.
Part of the Ohio State.
I remember
that game.
Literally nothing about that game. Like,
I remember one play, and it's their quarterback running through space, and everybody else is like spread out.
I remember, I watched the Miami Florida game, and I was like, "How did we lose to this guy?" Because I remember no part of how we actually lost to him.
Yeah, I think most of our defensive line was out by the end of the game too.
That the backups were right, in, like, and then the backups got hurt.
Yeah, so like by the time Aiden Hutchinson was hurt, like, okay, now our true freshman's out. Who's right. next? So,
but anyway, back to my larger point. Like, this feels like a year where Michigan could really break the duck. And you brought up quarterback depth. And yes. This is something that I'd said in a couple of Q&As that you were around for. Mm-hmm. But I think put on site for the first time in the heuristics post. You know, for the duration of this really bad period against Ohio State, it always seems like when Ohio State's quarterback goes out, and he's gone out pretty frequently.
Yeah.
Like, they bring in Braxton Miller or
Braxton Miller was the starter.
Well, they lost the guy for a season, and then Braxton Miller was the quarterback as a freshman.
Right, right.
So, but they bring in Kenny Guyton, and Kenny Guyton was was just this ridiculously good backup quarterback who was completely content just to sit there and get like three games a year for
Ohio State. Kenny Guyton is if Gunnar Hoke is good this year.
Right, and then, you know, they bring in Cardale Jones. Mm-hmm. They bring in Dwayne Haskins 2 years ago.
JT Barrett started as a freshman because of all these injuries.
Right, so you've got just this kind of legacy of, okay, we've got a plan for when our quarterback gets hurt. And on the other side of the coin, Michigan brings in...
I remember.
You know.
Does everybody remember? Does anyone not know?
You guys know.
Yeah.
You guys know.
We all know.
We're aware of the situation.
Threat and Sheridan, let's just say.
And for the first time in a long time, that dynamic is reversed. Because if Justin Fields goes out for Ohio State, they're in a lot of trouble.
Unless Gunnar Hoke is Kenny Guyton.
He's not. He's a grad transfer who didn't win the job at Kentucky.
Yeah, and the notes coming from there sound pretty nervous.
Right. So, and like, just the shape of how that quarterback battle went is kind of like Fields is a talent, but you know, he's a true sophomore who changed schools. So he's learning a new system for the first time. He got beat out at Georgia. I feel like there's a lot of wobble in that quarterback room, and
he only started. He didn't start any games. He played in one game extensively, and it was MTSU. Yeah. So I actually accidentally started watching it because the only people I could watch MTSU against is Georgia. It was them in Kentucky and a bunch of Anyway, his stats look great, and his throwing did not.
They'll probably give him like full series at some point, just because they're that confident in him. So this dynamic where Michigan loses a quarterback and then it's time to pack it in is reversed. And I feel like over the course of a season, like if something happens to Patterson, Michigan has a plan.
Yes.
And if something happens to Fields, Ohio State does not. So that's another reason that I kind of feel like, okay, this could be breaking the schneid here.
And the positions where we're concerned about. Defensive tackle.
Corner.
And corner.
And that's it.
Right. And cornerback, I mean, those are two positions you can't fake it.
Well, we did for 11 games, and then we didn't. We ceased faking it. But I think a lot depends on a couple of guys. So when you look at the whole team, there's nobody on offense who I think is like a fulcrum for the season.
Right.
Because like if Peoples-Jones is injured, it'll be fine. If Shea Patterson's injured, it'll be fine. Like maybe you get to that with the tackles a little bit because of the Stuber injury. But to me, it's Duomfor, it's Brad Hawkins, and it's Ambry Thomas.
Yeah.
So Duomfor is the only guy who's going to be able to give Michigan pass rush on the inside. I mean, maybe Jeter, but...
Or maybe one of the freshmen later on.
Maybe. I freshman defensive tackles are always bad. So there's almost no exceptions for that.
They're Mike Martin as a backup. And Alan Branch.
Mike Martin was a redshirt freshman.
Was he?
I think so.
No, he started. He played as a freshman. Well, he didn't start.
In any case, we're not going to get in an argument about this.
Yeah.
we're in a situation where Duomfor comes in and he flashes the reasons that everybody was so hyped about him. So he's really legitimately an excellent interior pass rusher, but he just can't play because he just gets sat on whenever anyone double teams him. And so He has a foot injury in the Maryland game.
Right.
And that's my favorite injury of all of last year because he keeps playing on it, and now we can be like, all right, if he's healthy, if he's all there, then maybe he's a different player than he was last year, especially because, you know, he's a year older. He's maturing.
I feel like our expectations for him would be a lot higher if he'd played this spring and if he'd, you know, played in fall. Like, my favorite injury of the offseason.
He practiced in fall.
Yeah.
So his injury this offseason was actually an arm thing. We've got a picture of him with a soft cast on. So they had a press conference where it's like, Mike Bumfor, he's doing some things in practice and not doing some other things. And I was like, oh, no. But then it's his arm. And, you know, who cares? Like, he'll be fine. Like, yeah. If he broke his thumb, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
If he did something else to his foot, that's a problem. But Dwanford is the guy who allows you to have defensive ends that are singled up because he needs actual attention.
Right.
And then Hawkins, obviously, like, Michigan is a team that runs a lot of man coverage over slots with safeties. And last year, they go to outside leverage. They give up a lot of slants. And then to combat the slants, they nerf their linebacker blitzing. And the thing that really jumped out to me is I went back and I looked at tackles for loss from the linebacker level. And Michigan had 44 and a half 2 years ago, and they had 21.
I'm surprised you had to go back and look.
Really? They had 21 last year. That's Sean Bacon, everybody. But he's not in this segment. He's in the next one.
I don't exist, but that was fascinating.
So, and even if you delete, like, the 8 tackles for loss Minnesota handed Kalik Hudson on a platter, that's almost halving the amount of havoc you're getting from your linebacker level. And that feels very un-Don Brown.
Right. Well, they couldn't defend those slants the way that they wanted to and still defend. They got really freaked out about fades, which was like the one problem the year before. So they like overreact to fades, and they play those guys outside. And because of that, they're giving up the inside unless you're really athletic.
So it works out such that it seems like a good idea. Because the fades are off. Like the one time that Michigan State tried to run one, like Metellus was over the top of it, and it was over. So that was a positive, and then, okay, you get the slants against SMU, and you're like, oh, this sucks. And they adjust, and then Northwestern can't really do it, and Michigan State can't do it, and Nebraska can't do it, and Wisconsin can't do it because you're buzzing all this stuff, and because you have, like, a rampant Chase Winovich, he covers up everything else because he's just killing everybody in the league. But you get to – so you're so dependent on basically one guy for most of your pass rush. The Indiana game where they're doubling him – becomes a problem because you don't get the pressure you're expecting, and then the crossing routes start getting there because you don't have anyone who's getting the quarterback, and they can run all the way across the field. Difficult to defend.
Now, last year, that was Bonet and Kemp.
Right. So two guys who are just space eaters.
Right.
And like Bonet especially. Kemp is a guy who people are talking up as a guy who's really improved a lot.
When you need it that bad, like you always have to like rate what they're saying against like what the
like a
position looks
like. A big part of my job is like figuring out what off-season stuff is real and what's balderdash.
Right.
That's in the balderdash category for me. Like I believe everything everybody's saying about Jalen Mayfield just because of the way it got to me, the way that people talk about him. The Kemp stuff, I don't know. So, but we're talking about Hawkins.
Yeah.
Hawkins is a guy who like, he's big. He's really rangy. He can leap. He's like his high school film is him at wide receiver just jumping out of the building.
Right.
So if that's your slot defender, and it looks like that's going to be the case, I'm going to take my shot. I'm going to take my risk with the slot fades and be like, if you can hit this, you can hit it. Go to town. And then I'm going to get Kalik Hudson blitzing again. Then I'm going to get Josh Ross doing his best Devin Bush impression. And then I'm going to get my 44 tackles for loss from the second level of the defense back.
And that's how you have to play Don Brown defense. He wants to be sending five at least every single time.
Right. So like I think that Don Brown got trapped into being very un-Don Brown.
Right.
And like at what point is Michigan not going to touch a quarterback in an Ohio State game again? Never. So I feel like Hawkins is a key because he's got to actually defend the slot fades if Michigan's going to go back to the rampaging ways. And then Ambry Thomas. Get better soon. You can't live in college football with two cornerbacks, and Michigan might have two cornerbacks if Vincent Gray works out. If he doesn't, then...
I mean, you can probably get through most of the season with Vincent Gray.
Yeah.
Everyone is focused on Ambry Thomas because of everything last year when they didn't put Ambry Thomas out there.
Yeah, well, it is a little bit of a... a question mark, right? Because if Brandon Watson, he's a good player.
Yeah.
But he wasn't good enough to never play Ambry Thomas, right? Like, you rotate him in at points when, you know, you're up two touchdowns against Penn State or something. And you see what you got there. And they never did that. And that, I'm a little bit skeptical.
Some of the quotes over the spring, too, for Ambry was like, oh, he's night and day from last year, and he's really picking it up now.
Yeah, which says not exactly what you want to hear. Like, it's not the worst thing, but
it's good that he's picking it up now, but it kind of suggests that maybe last year he was just a fast guy.
Because, you know, prior to last season, I think we were assuming that Thomas would flash and we'd be like, okay, this guy is going to be the next Jordan Lewis. He's going to be the next LeVert Hill.
Yeah.
And he's much more of a question mark, even disregarding the fact that he has ulcerative colitis, which is something I learned about this offseason. Football teaches you things.
We now know about ulnar nerves and ulcer.
Yeah. That's life as a Michigan fan, finding out about the horrible ways in which your favorite players have been eviscerated. Right.
They also put a lot on Ambry Thomas's plate. I think that last year they felt they didn't need him that much.
Well, he played some offense, which was a little bit weird.
And kick returner.
Kick returner is just...
That's still practice time. It's still time away from your unit.
If I was in charge of the kick return unit, my practice time would be like, you got it. It's fine. And then we'd practice stuff that actually matters.
That's why we don't put you in charge of the kick
return. I would be really good at coaching kick return because I'd be like, why don't we do some stuff that matters in football?
Please don't ever say this around a football coach. They murder people who do not knock special teams.
Nobody's going to murder me.
They have
me.
No patience whatsoever when you knock
special teams. If I get murdered, it's going to be for my local politics takes.
That's
not
true.
My football takes.
That's true. I've got... Fair.
People are really uptight about this stuff. Anyway, let's take a break, and then we can pretend that John Bacon is actually here instead of pretend that he's not here.
All right.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go!
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
It's painless, it's online, it's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing takes the aggravation out of custom printing for a group. Whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, or trying to collect sizes and payment for a family reunion, Underground Printing is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with our easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing people down to pay, or wasting time trying to sort out who needs what. We'll set it up and you can just sit back and relax. We can even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit us at any of our convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com.
Hey, so I have, like, insurance and stuff, but I don't really, like, know what's going on with it.
Yeah, your coverage probably sucks, and you're paying way too much for it. And I know this because I had a guy, his name's Phil Klein. He's actually a Michigan alum and wrestled for Michigan. He looked at my insurance, and he was like, yeah, your coverage sucks, and you're paying a lot more than you need to for it.
I also, like, I hesitate to even mention this, but I do have my insurance from a company that advertises during college football games.
Well,
and I wish that was not the case.
Well, why don't you just get it from a cool guy who actually, like, reads MGo blog?
Well, how would I do that? They have a website?
They have one of those, too. It's philklineinsurance.com. Can you remember the name Phil Klein?
Sure.
Can you remember insurance?
Yes.
Okay. Use those two together, and you will save money on your insurance, and you will actually get better coverage on your home and your auto, and they do life, too.
All right. So you're telling me if I Google Phil Klein Insurance, this website will come up?
Yes.
Wonders never cease.
You might be investing on your own or working with another advisor, but how would you grade your results? I'm Nick Hopwood, CFP, founder and president,
Peak Wealth Management,
in Plymouth. For over 20 years, we've been working with institutional strategists, putting together low-cost portfolios which match your risk tolerance. If you have over $500,000 in your portfolio, you should consider a second opinion. You can connect with us online and schedule an appointment at peakwm.com.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
The places you'll go may seem far from Ann Arbor. From San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai, But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far. Because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
Hey, welcome back to MGo Radio 5.0. Now John Bacon is officially here. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for asking.
You can tell that I'm doing well because I'm calling you by your actual name.
For the first 9 seconds.
So we'll see. I have opened a beer, so all hell is going to break loose. Hopefully. Not. Probably not. How you doing, John?
Shockingly well. Yourself?
Here you got a book out.
You've heard that correctly from apparently quite a few sources.
You have been on my feed a lot with people from, I don't know, we'll call it the South, who are a little bit unhappy with certain things about this book.
And they are allowed to be. The quote, by the way, was misconstrued.
All right, so what is the exact quote?
So Harbaugh and
Wait. What is the exact book?
It's Overtime. Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines at the crossroads of college football. John U. Bacon, New York Times best-selling author.
Thank you.
There you go.
Whoa.
Oops. Everything else is gravy.
So
there I was.
So what's the actual quote?
There I was minding my own business, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what you do a lot.
I thought I'd do a lot. Yes. In Harbaugh's office, we're having a pretty freewheeling conversation about all kinds of stuff. 3 hours or so. We're talking about all the ways they channel money. And these stories, you know how the stories go.
Yeah.
You have to look for them. They watch them on your shore unbidden.
Yeah.
Paying money through the churches, of course, but getting parents jobs with Parks and Rec or sanitation in the city or the county. So that
is that a good thing? I don't know.
Well, NCAA can't
you,
do anything.
Do you want me to like?
Do you have to show up to the job? Because like, I'm like, if you're like, oh, if your kid comes to my school, we'll let you be in sanitation. I'm like, holding out for something a little bit better.
Well, it depends on how fast your kid is, I guess.
Yeah.
So if your kid's running a 4 or 7.
So you're having sanitation. This like conversation with Harbaugh about all the ways that
these things happen. Casino chips. A new one I learned about this time around was bring your clunker into the car dealership, a Mercedes dealership perhaps. Ask for a certain part that your 12-year-old truck needs, and it may take a while for that part to get in. So in the meantime, take the 450 SL and use that as a loaner car, and when the part comes in, we'll let you know. So that one's a pretty good one. I've learned recently in the last week about a blackmail scenario. Where
a blackmail scenario?
I'm not even kidding.
It's like a Jeffrey Epstein thing?
Not quite.
Not quite? Good. Good.
But closer than you'd
was
like.
Was he killed by the SEC, Brian?
No.
Yeah, please, let's start that quote. That's what I want to...
John U. Bacon says in his book...
I'm going to write this on the jacket cover. Jeffrey Epstein was killed by the SEC. John U. Bacon.
That's right. Slash Jim Harbaugh.
Slash
right.
Jim Harbaugh.
Yes, of course. Good. So this one was...
George Will is on here. Was
how about that?
He blurbed your book.
How about that?
How does he know who you are?
Thank you. I was just talking to Tiki Barber on the New York radio before I got here in the car.
Yeah?
So, yeah. People.
Well, that's not George Will. Like Tiki Barber.
He's faster.
So, like, how do you know George Will? We're off topic
here. I met him once for 5 minutes, but before that he blurbed Three and Out, and he blurbed Halifax.
This guy's just a blurb machine.
No, he's not. He's actually pretty hard to get to, so I got lucky. How about this?
For you.
He read the books and he liked them. That's how it happened. So.
What?
He's a huge baseball fan. It's not that hard to
imagine. He is very old, so maybe he does read books.
Yeah, but even guys like David Frum, you're a political guy.
I'm not a political guy. I'm a local politics guy.
And that might get you killed, I heard.
That's different.
That is different.
No, like, I don't want to get into it.
Anyway,
what's the quote?
So the quote is, oh, it's the blackmail, though. So a player goes down there. Oh, you want to hear the blackmail?
We're never going to get the quote.
I want to hear the blackmail story.
All right, fine.
The blackmail. So player goes down there and is entertained by two young ladies.
You know, the set he's up by got game.
scenario. The booster girls and so on, decides not to go to that school, and he's told, no, actually you are, because those two are underage. And if you don't go here, you'll get busted for that. I'm not even kidding you about this. I heard this.
I can't. Nah.
There you go.
Nah, that's not.
And he called the bluff because he knew that he decided that, look, if they're illegal, then you're in charge. You're running.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So he did not go there, and so far he's called the bluff successfully. But that shows you how low things can get.
That is.
But anyway, so we're talking about all this stuff.
Yeah, what's the quote?
And the quote is, and Jim says, you know, grinned and waved it off and shrugged and said, well, hard to beat the cheaters. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
He's quoting Bo, too, isn't he?
Probably.
Yeah. That's a well-known Bo quote.
We're at the Bo store. Look around. Just probably on a wall here somewhere. but anyway, what happens next, of course, is people assume that he meant the SEC. Some tacked it on because someone else said it. Others intentionally added SEC for clicks. I know that they knew better.
Right.
So that's that's what happens in the modern era, obviously. So I spent a day swatting flies on that one, another day swatting flies on something else.
That was the other thing. Yeah.
The other thing was the Sarah Harbaugh story.
Yeah.
Which is true.
This is like you got like explosive revelations in this book.
I'm glad his revelations are not
cheats
diarrhea. So that's
MSU
good.
Is not very nice to people. It's huge.
Okay. We're trying to talk the book up, Seth. Up.
Yeah. I'll say
saying people.
In this regard,
there's gambling in this establishment. In this book, he shows it.
You're like the Craig Ross of our podcast. You don't know how to pitch anything.
I am a Craig Ross in training right now.
A Craig Ross in training.
Yeah. He's actually editing Craig Ross's book, so I feel like they're kind of
like Craig's like third or fourth book.
Melding.
We're trying to go full time.
We talked about this one. Yeah. I know this one.
Yeah.
I like this idea very much, by the way. But anyway.
Yeah. But let's not tell anybody what it is. That's how we're good.
I can't wait to pump your book the way you guys are pumping mine. So that'd be great.
I was trying. I was trying.
That's true. That is true. So this rockets around. Oh, Sarah Harbaugh story. So that gets out there, and it's true.
What is the story?
After the 2015 game, the famous punt game, of course.
I don't remember that.
nor should you. So the lobotomy worked, is what you're saying. So
what?
Thank you. What? What's a lobotomy? She goes out there after the game and slides against the wall and slides down, and she's in tears, as you might imagine. And the Michigan State coaches are cheering. They're going nuts, as you might imagine that also. And they walk out there, and one of them sees her and looks closely and probably recognizes her anyway. Sees the Harbaugh, and he goes, oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, like this.
Wow.
And
that's like some seventh-grade stuff.
That was her take. And as she pointed out, you know, if Michigan coaches had done that, there'd be a national apology the next day.
Well.
An apology tour. I'll have a steak and so on. So anyway, it's three paragraphs in a 400-page book. However, it rockets around also. And other quotes were attached to it that I did not say, et cetera.
Now, what quotes were attached to it that you didn't say?
For example, John Borden, good friend of mine, and a guy I respect a lot and like a lot, paraphrased this story for the Wolverine, which is all fine and well. But then, of course, that's his writing, not my writing.
Sure.
And apparently one of the captions for one of the photos described the Spartans as sniveling, soiled siblings, I believe. And so that one is coming to me all day long. And I'm saying, look, John Borden and I spell and pronounce our names differently. Therefore, different human beings.
So sure.
Whatever. But that's going to rile that base up. And look, you know how the Twitterverse goes. If it's third or fourth hand, it's just fine. And no matter how mangled it might be. So anyway, that one's rocketing around as well. But also the excerpts are as well, including yours on the Michigan State business.
What?
The excerpt you ran Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What? Oh, that one, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the
this is, kind of blog, this is a busy week for the blog.
Yes,
so.
It is a busy week for the blog.
I top page it into one of those four boxes so that people could find it because, like, you were just churning things out after.
What? Everybody knows what preview week is like. There's no surprises here.
Okay.
Very true. I think the publisher is actually advertising on your site, though, I believe.
Yes, they're going to be.
Are they?
Yeah.
Or they will be after September 3rd. So.
Yeah, after our advertising is working again.
we're having a little bit of
a thing.
Yeah, it's you go to the site and it's kind of like, remember Bonzi Buddy? Kind of feels like that.
Bonzi Buddy.
You don't remember
it?
Bonzi Buddy?
No. I'm 55.
Yeah, but this happened like 20 years ago, so I thought you might have a shot. It was like do we need to get into this? It was just like a little it was an app that on your computer you'd have this like cute little purple gorilla.
and like hypothetically he would be helpful and you could like tell him to take notes. You do remember Bonzi Buddy.
It was like the clip guy, except for this thing installed all sorts of wormware into your computer.
Exactly. So we're not doing that, but it kind of
good.
It has like a an early 90s there are Bonzi way too Buddy. Many ads thing going on. Now we don't know what exactly is happening, but it is not our intention for that to be permanent, obviously.
I'll pass that into my bosses. They'll appreciate that. So, it is not their intention for this to be permanent.
It's like Bonzi Buddy without the malware. So
please don't pass that out.
Bonzi Buddy without the malware.
That's going to be the new like site tagline. That's good, right?
that's great.
Once in a while
it goes really well with like Dr. Pepper taking over our banner.
Well, once in a while, Pitbull.
You encounter a series of words you've never heard before in English. Like Bonzi Buddy without the malware. Yes, that is one of those sentences that
probably no one's ever said before.
Exactly. I'm really surprised this segment got off track.
What'd you say today when you're talking on the phone? You said it always gets off the rails delightfully.
Yeah,
that's about right.
Yeah,
yeah, except for the delightful part. But
there we go.
So, like, what else is in this book
I'll say this, Brian. It's great to see you again, despite your efforts.
Yeah. So this is like an embed in the program, or is it a little bit different?
It is that. It's an embed in the program. It is from the player's point of view. I did four on offense, four on defense. Picked them carefully, not just the big stars like Rashawn Gary and Chase Winovich, who's the most quotable guy in the world, but also Noah Furbush, who's getting his master's degree in space engineering and designing a capsule to go to Mars and back, just like I did as an undergrad. Jared Wangler is another one, who's a backup fullback. Great story there, of course. Those four guys, I talked to their parents this time. That's new. And I also talked, I've got three or four chapters on the staffers, how this machine actually works, how video works, how recruiting works, how the academic side works. I'm being exhibited right now in M Today, I believe, Michigan Today, all that stuff. And I wanted to find out what it actually feels like to be these guys. What does it mean? And the final question in the epilogue to all of them was, is it worth it? All the sacrifice, all the risk, all the stuff you missed as a player, and you see already how much goes into this. And for their own reasons, eight different reasons, they all said it was. So I went away from this book a lot more reassured about college football than I was beforehand, safer than I thought, talking to the doctors and the trainers and so on, talking to the parents. Grant Newsom's parents, they were fantastic. I mean, the guy almost lost his leg, and I tell you in excruciating detail how close that was.
Yeah, there are details in the book here that I'd never read before.
I don't like excruciating detail. It kind of goes with the territory. It's excruciating.
It's interesting to see how the program is reacting around it, too.
And by the way, why am I talking? Seth read the damn book. Hey, Seth.
You've probably read it, too.
I have.
Also, we've established that Seth is not interested in making your book popular.
You're marketing your book right. You're marketing it as something that's like, oh, there's this tantalizing story, and there's this tantalizing story. And that's not what I really think the book is about.
But it's not just like a series of shocking anecdotes?
No, it's actually, you know, in the John Bacon pantheon, it's kind of the heir to the Bo book, to Bo's Lasting Lessons. It's a lot that program that Bo is talking about and his leadership style that he's talking about in action. And he kind of goes through every single piece of the program. You go into like the guys who are the video editors and how they work and how they do their jobs, how they choose the footballs to play with and how that's done. Like the attention to detail on every single level of the program, all coming down to these players. And I think one of the most important things is there's $1 million per player that the program puts into them.
All right.
Not just scholarship players. Just every single player on the team gets about $1 million in
spent on them.
Spent on them and their equipment and whatnot.
Not paid.
Right,
your SEC fans.
Well, I mean, so is that supposed to be a justification of amateurism? Because it doesn't.
No, but that's the floating question.
It's a fact out there, and I think people do not. I did not know that, and I don't think most fans knew that. And about half of that is tuition. Incredibly,
it's interesting that.
Well,
where
that's
the money
a really
goes.
Soft cost because, you know, Michigan is going to charge full out-of-state tuition for every player they have, and that's
true.
Not.
But they write a check for it. That's a real cost. You know,
it is a real cost. But
it's not Cedar Point where you get free passes.
In a context where
they pay retail.
The athletic department is just straight up giving the university $10 million a year, even above and beyond scholarship costs. It's kind of like, all right, this is kind of, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul. And it's like, if we wanted to pay them, we could. And the scholarship costs would not be the barrier to that.
No, I think that's a debate worth having, and we
mentioned that as well. It was a very interesting read for me because it's seldom when you're reading one of your favorite authors. Don't take that too well.
Don't worry, I'm in the right place for that.
That like you get to actually converse with the author while you're reading the book, and I got to text along with Bacon a little bit when I was reading the thing.
That was fun.
Yeah, but like, and you know that like some of the. I didn't want to criticize too much. I wanted to, like, you know, you're putting the... I wasn't going to put that in there. I'm saving it for my
thank you.
My thing. But, like, I didn't want to get into an argument with you then about, like, paying players and what the... And how the finances in college football should be working. Mm. Because I think you go through and show very well where the money goes and why it's going in that direction. It's obvious that, like, to get the players to come and to have this, you have to be putting that kind of money towards these players. If one of them wants to go get a pilot's license and it's $20,000, then...
No, furbish, right?
Yeah, then they'll pay for it. But why is it that way, and why don't you just pay them the directly. Money when that money is there?
As opposed to a fancy locker room trip to Europe, et cetera.
Or, like, you know, a non-revenue sport coach making $500,000 a year. Like,
right. That's
or
I mean,
another administrator.
And where does that money come from? From one place is football, obviously.
Basketball too, but mostly
basketball.
Football.
Hutch comes reasonably close to paying her bills.
Softball and hockey are about break even.
Yep.
So I mean, but we are talking about like moving these people from, you know, $200,000 up, and then we're talking about, you know, a guy like Denard Robinson who had his cup of coffee in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Now out of the NFL, you know, is an analyst at Jacksonville. What's his financial situation, and shouldn't it be significantly different?
I agree with that. If you're Denard Robinson, you're getting a bad deal because his number 16 jersey is being sold all over the place.
Right.
If you're Jared Wangler and you're backup fullback to Ben Mason, you're getting a great deal.
Right, but that doesn't mean that we have a whole system for this.
It's called
the economy.
The capitalism I've been in.
Right. So, like,
have you heard about this thing? It's going around.
So, you know, Jared Wangler might have gotten completely unexploited. Maybe he's completely unexploited, and that's fine.
It's basically socialism. Everyone gets paid one salary, and that's it. So,
it's a very bastardized form of it, though, because the money is still coming in, and it just has to go through all these people before it can actually get to the players, and it gets to the players in very strange ways.
Right. Like,
locker rooms.
Yeah. And there are
here's
things
a belt. Right. It's a really cool belt.
Or here's really cool shoes that you're not allowed to sell.
What about the belt? I want to hear about the belt.
Well, I just imagine...
The shoes I know about.
And eventually there are going to be belts that like stretch and have computers in them, and they'll give them to the college football players.
I see. You've thought the long view on
this. Yeah, it's patent pending. I haven't actually heard back from the
office. That chapter's about 5 pages, I think, out of the whole thing. So the debate about that. My theory is that you have to separate... you need a viable minor league in basketball and football. Because even if you start paying these players, it'll be chump change. You'll be a poorly paid professional.
Right, and that was the point that I don't necessarily agree with that. Yeah.
No, fair enough.
Interesting thing coming up.
It's one of the few places, though, I actually expound on a theory versus report what I'm seeing.
Well, sure. I also, you know, it would be easier and more efficient just to be like, I don't care if someone's paying you. Like, if... I, as MGO Blog, wanted when Denard Robinson in school was to have him promote my site.
We're
and
not
give him money.
We're not
to
getting
do that.
Denard, Brian.
Well, okay.
We're getting Jared Wangler.
If we want Jared Wangler.
Who's a well-spoken guy. You could do worse.
I want Poggi. That's who I want.
Poggi's great.
I want Poggi.
We would pick that. We'd have Ben Mason for us.
Yeah, yeah. So if I wanted to like give that money.
Ben Mason's great, man.
Give that guy some money to mgoblog.com.
You need him on camera, though. Cause the
Yeah, no. Like, so,
you
like,
need the mohawk.
So,
you need the whole thing.
We're a very visual podcast.
Henry Poggi returns a fumble for a touchdown to beat Michigan State. Hi, Mom. I'm on camera. Go to mgoblog.com. And I'm like, all right, here we go.
Boom.
Boom.
Bling. Benjamins all over the place.
And that's money that no one's really capturing right now. Like, there's people who would buy jerseys of these guys, and you could give them a portion of that.
I walked across with Denard Robinson. It's in a Chris Webber kind of scene. Right in front of the Michigan Union there, they're selling number 16 jerseys. And he's walking right past, having dropped $6 in his Wendy's, which is a stretch.
Which is not money that anyone's capturing right now, except for once
well,
in a while.
Well, I think that athletic departments are afraid that if name and image rights go back to the players, that stuff they're getting currently in donations will instead go to the players, which I'm fine with. But if you're an administrator who's basically dependent on the fact that the players aren't getting paid like this,
it's a threat to your job, and therefore you can't want to have it happen.
That's not right.
So correct. But it is reality.
I know. I understand it's reality, but like we... That's where you hit the wall, right?
Yeah.
Who can fix this situation? Because it would have to be the NCAA. They're the ones who try to step in history when football got like this. And right now, the NCAA is not getting us anywhere. They have.
All right. Let's.
We can all agree that the current situation is a joke.
Yeah.
But the point of the book, though, is that we can debate how to play, how to pay players, what the future should look like, and so on. We can't debate what the rules are now. What's amazing is Michigan seems to be trying to play by the rules when very few do. And the NCAA doesn't care. The media doesn't care too much. The national media, certainly. And these guys have gone to Michigan for that reason. And you can't – the question is, can you do it that way? That's one of the big debates of the book. Can you do it that way and compete at that level?
Well, obviously, you can compete.
You can.
You can compete. I mean, Michigan has been in the top 10 in S&P Plus for the last few years.
They're that close. I think we all agree. I mean,
I think Notre Dame's probably in the same boat.
Notre Dame, Stanford, Northwestern to a degree.
To a degree? Oh, compete.
Yes.
Ah, I see.
No.
I thought you were like, man, you have no idea the crazy blackmail stuff going on at Northwestern.
That's where I got the story. By the way,
let's go to a break, and we'll come back with all this.
But real quick, let's break some news here. Harbaugh was talking about Northwestern. Boom.
Oh,
mind blowing.
He actually did say that.
Yeah.
So now we're joking. Yeah, but we don't have to put that in the clip. All right, let's take a break.
Recently, Seth and I were having lunch, and he asked me what someone in their 30s, married with children, should be doing with their finances. I rattled off some gibberish, and then he said, "That's what your next ad should be." So, here we go. Hey, it's Nick Hopwood, your MGO financial coach. I'm a certified financial planner, founder, and president at
Peak Wealth Management.
And it would be smart for you to start paying close attention at this point. I think you would want to consider the following. Max out your 401k. I like the Roth 401k, as long as your income is under $415,000 per year. Max out your Roth IRA. Set up your mortgage on a 15-year amortization. Add $500 a month for each kid's 529. Invest with the appropriate risk tolerance. Make sure you have enough life insurance to cover debts, education, and income replacement. Don't take out any credit card debt. Pay all your bills each month. Make sure you have an emergency fund. And if your needs are any more complicated than that, connect with us at peakwm.com to book an appointment.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout-out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
If you're looking for a mortgage and you're a Michigan fan, there's only one place to go. Homeshore Lending. Fair and honest, Homeshore Lending is local, efficient, and small enough that you'll work directly with the owner, Matt Demarest. Matt bleeds maize and blue, and so does his family.
Hi, this is Matt Demarest, owner of Homeshore Lending. We're a local mortgage company based here in Ann Arbor on State Street, but we serve the entire state of Michigan, helping people buy or refinance their homes. We care about doing things the right way and treating people the right way, but we also care deeply about the Wolverines, and I wanted to introduce you to a couple of the biggest Michigan fans I know.
Hi, I'm Cooper, I'm 10.
I'm Colby, and I'm 8.
Who's the best team in the whole country?
Michigan!
Homeshore Lending at 2723 South State Street in Ann Arbor. For more info, go to homeshorelending.com. That's HOMESURELENDING.com. Or call Matt at 734-531-9950. Homeshore Lending. NMLS number 1161358. Equal housing lender.
If you find yourself on the wrong side of the law in Ann Arbor or around Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man in the huddle. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul at 248-924-9458 or visit his website, michiganlawgrad.com.
We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back to MGO Radio 5.0, live from the Bow Store on Main Street. We are now sponsored by Perrin Brewing Company, and Perrin Brewing gave us many beers.
They did.
So,
and you left me with most of them, so I've been really
No, I took half of them.
Yeah. My wife is ready for them to be out of the fridge, because I don't get through beer that fast, and
okay.
This is, I've been tasting them and kind of writing down notes, so I got to speed it up.
You've got notes.
I got notes on all the beers that I tried.
Well, what's your favorite so far?
The Black.
They have a Black IPA.
I mean, not including, like, a couple of the expensive ones that they gave us.
Oh, like the...
Yeah, there's like a $20 can that I forget the name of.
I didn't take that one.
You left that for me, and I'm like, wow, thank you.
I didn't know it was $20 that would take on it.
I looked it up, and I was like, oh, Brian left me this one. that one was really good.
So the Black IPA is good. I like the Black IPAs as a style in general because they have some of the bitterness that an IPA has, but they don't have like the FU hops that a lot of places are going for these days.
Right. It's called technically called the FU hops, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you've had an IPA like this where you just...
We have hops!
Yes.
Like, and you're all up in your grill? I hate that.
Yeah, and I feel like all these Perrin beers are well-balanced, and I haven't like tasted one and been like, ooh!
Yeah.
Which happens not infrequently these days.
When
people are like, look at all my hops. I have a very big hops.
Yeah, well, you go to beer tasters and stuff like that, which love to like... explode on flavor.
I have exposed myself to hops in that manner, but
these guys are like my always keep some in the fridge level beer now,
because
like I'm not really Founders is having problems right now. I don't want to
let's not like just randomly diss other companies. Let's focus.
Anyway,
where can you get Perrin beers?
You can get them at Meijer, Whole Foods, Kroger starting next month, I think, and any bar with any sense of taste. Or you can check out their selection on perrinbrewing.com.
Perrinbrewing.com. All right.
Yeah.
So, John U. Bacon, how are we doing?
Doing shockingly well, Brian Cook.
You keep saying that, and I don't believe you.
I actually am. I'm leaning back in the chair.
I
lost 15 pounds. I need to lose 20 more. So,
is your kid still hyperverbal?
He is. You saw him, I guess.
Yes.
When you included this. Yes.
I remember like a couple years ago, you know, we go over there and my kid's like, duh, yes. And your kid's like, I would like to go outside, please. It would be delectable.
Yes. With a surprising British accent. I didn't see that one coming. Where's he getting that, right?
So, Big Ten, 2019. How are we thinking?
I think it's play out? It's lined up right now as well in August 30th as it can be for Michigan as things stand. Ryan Day, and it's in the book, of course, and you know this from UFR, that it's a myth that Michigan's playing man-to-man the entire game. You know that they stripped it, as he said, to zone one, zone two, zone three. Got an answer for all of it. So Ryan Day is clearly a hell of a coach. The guys like him a lot. He's seems to be urban minus the urban mania that can drive his staff and his players crazy.
Well, that.
The flip side is you've not been a head coach. So who knows if it works if you take a bad loss. And under Urban, man, they're always famous for the Purdue game last year. They always would just blow up somewhere out of nowhere. You never saw it coming. Michigan State games and so on and so forth. So see about that. My take is that they're as lined up right now as well as they have been, since 06? And even in
06.
06, they were 7-5 the year before, so no one saw them doing
that.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're not coming off a 7-5 team at all.
No, but all the pieces seem to be there.
Well, 06...
As much as they can be for a team that graduates players, obviously, so...
Well, the 06 team, the 05 season was a 7-5 season, but if you go back and look at it, they, like, lost in overtime. They lost
freakish games.
Freakish games. And it was like, it didn't feel like...
I don't remember that season now either, Brian.
I remember
I've wiped that one.
I remember it because I called it the year of infinite pain.
I know you
did. No idea of what was awaiting me in the future.
up to and including Minnesota trying to kill the clock to get to overtime.
We all remember.
They put Prescott. Why am I doing this? They put Prescott Burgess at defensive end for the first time in his career.
Yes.
Lined him up against an all Big Ten tight end.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
And then it did.
Amazing they fired that coach.
Let's why? Why do we, why?
Let's do a whole podcast on the 2000s.
Well, one of the most interesting things about this year's Big Ten is, though, the West is interesting.
Weird.
Like, I think anybody except Illinois can win it, and probably Northwestern. even though they won it last year, I just feel like
Northwestern feel well. They've got like a 5-star quarterback who was they weren't allowed to play last year, like a transfer.
Yeah,
but like I mean
Hunter Johnson,
yeah,
but who I actually watched play in high school because
really?
He was playing Brandon Peters.
Ah,
and Brandon Peters was a lot better.
And now he's at Illinois.
Starting. Right, so this doesn't really like fire up Northwestern.
The West
is
interesting.
Good juice.
Of course, Michigan's got what they got: Wisconsin and Iowa.
Yeah.
No freebie as always. Illinois is close to a freebie as you're going to get.
Yes, that is a freebie.
By the way, are you a little surprised Lovie Smith could not get it going by now?
No.
No.
No. I thought that was like a retirement kick for him. And
okay. Yeah, look at his beard. He spends all his time on that thing. And honestly, that's the move. Like, but I just don't feel like you can have that beard and also concentrate on coaching a football team.
Can't be taken seriously. I'll tell you what.
I take him very seriously.
As a coach?
No, as a beard enthusiast.
guys with the handlebar mustaches, don't hire them.
Who has handlebar mustaches?
Very rare, so don't hire them. See the problem.
But, I don't.
And the reason is the guy cares too much about his mustache than he does about his job. So.
Well, this is my theory about
exactly your point.
The funny thing is
the father time beard, basically.
He's a defensive guy. He brought in his buddy, Hardy Nickerson, to be his defensive coordinator. Nickerson up and quits last year.
Just talking about Illinois.
Yes, they spend all offseason looking for somebody, don't hire anybody. He hires himself as the defensive coordinator. This is an epic explosion.
He's the Dick Cheney of VP searches. There.
They're going to be worse than Rutgers. There you are.
There's your bumper sticker.
No.
Worse than Rutgers.
I mean, they we're just doing a segment on Illinois. Okay,
right,
fine.
Let's move
they
on.
Have, they
let's
have Reggie on. Corbin, who's
we're
a really
have
good
to do
quarterback.
One,
and honestly, like, if you're giving me the choice of any quarterback on the Rutgers and Illinois rosters, I am taking Brandon Peters in a landslide.
Fine.
I'll take Brandon Peters above the next five.
But it's Brandon Peters in a rich route offense.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, he's okay. He can move a little bit.
Yeah, I think they were such a good rushing team last year because of Bush. He was their quarterback, and he was a running guy. Anyway, that's
all right, so
enough
any chance of Michigan losing to Wisconsin? There's a fair question.
Yeah, it's on the road.
It's on the road.
Noon game.
Quintez Cephas is back.
11 o'clock there.
They got to get Jack Cohn to learn how to quarterback.
Yeah, he was like 5.5 yards in attempt last year.
It's tough. I mean, six of these teams are on the top 30 that Michigan's got on the roster or the schedule right now. I would say it's like number 7 or 8 schedule they say in the nation right now, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
But it does set up fairly well in many ways. One of them is you get Middle Tennessee State, of course, tomorrow. You got Army, a weird team, which doesn't really help you much with the other teams. But bye week, then Wisconsin. It sets up fairly well. I think you should get some kinks out by October. You got to beat Wisconsin, obviously. I think watch the all-time trap game, the best trap game I've ever seen, is between Michigan State and Ohio State, the Indiana game.
Oh, yeah.
They always play it tough for some reason. They always come close.
Well, the Indiana game's always there. Look how many schedules we've had where Indiana's right before Ohio State and right after a Penn State or Michigan State.
And they've unleashed the Penix.
That's right.
I'll bite. As it were, on the Penix.
Their starting quarterback this year is Michael Penix.
I did not know that.
So he played a little bit last year. He gives them much more of a run threat than Ramsey does. I think he's a better quarterback. I think
so. It's more of a running Penix.
That doesn't make any sense.
I recall Dick Trickle.
All right, if we're gonna have blue jokes, they have to make like sense. You can't just
say stuff.
Yeah. Right. He's not. He's
what? Penix hard to beat. Where were
you? Yes,
I'm writing.
There we go.
Right.
Thank you.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
So
there's your Heisman campaign.
So like if he remains healthy, I think they're going to be a force.
It's a tough schedule. No question.
I mean, not like a force. I think they're going to be bowl eligible.
I'll make one prediction. I think Penn State is going down the tubes.
I like that one too.
Yeah.
So.
I've been waiting for that, actually, because I've been hearing shaky things throughout the Penn State.
So the thing that really jumped out to me when I did the UFR of the Penn State game last year is, you remember the Saquon Barkley Wildcat thing where they ripped off the big touchdown? So they get the big touchdown. Hooray. They run it like 8 more times during that game, and they gain a maximum of 3 yards.
Barkley didn't beat him in that game. McSorley did.
Well, Barkley helped.
He did. I mean, you got to play him seriously, but McSorley was the better player, I thought, that day.
In any case, they ran it again this year.
Stuffed.
Yeah. And
last year, yeah.
No, this year. They ran it like 3 or 4 times in 2018. That's right. Yeah, sorry. And like it didn't even work after the first time last year.
Kept doing it.
And you're just, and it, the, it only had value as like this shock.
So back to the
new
book.
Thing.
I am in the Don Brown defensive meeting when they break down the Penn State tape the Monday after that game. That is fun.
The last year's game or 2 years ago?
2018.
Okay.
The fun one for Michigan.
The fun
fans.
One, yeah.
That's
yes.
That is the like the apex of the book, right? Like the happiest everyone is.
The happiest, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, after the writing goes to hell after that, it turns out. So the apex of
it. Well, I mean, you're reading the book, and you're,
I'm joking. Seth,
you know where it's going,
right.
So everyone, any Michigan
obviously,
fan
his writing only improves.
Yeah,
there you go. Of course, but no, the meeting starts out with Brown shows up there, his usual harried face. He's got all the stats on the board. He's got the film ready to go and all that. And Josh Metellus raises his hand and says, "Hey, Coach, how'd you sleep last night?" And you know the running joke, of course. Yeah. He didn't sleep for a year. It might be true. And everyone laughs. He goes, "Much better, Josh. Much better." And there you go, and you're off and running. And he went nuts with that tape because, I mean, they were just – it's an all-out butt-kicking from a defensive point of view.
Oh, yeah.
A catharsis compared to the year before.
Right, and that's – like,
and this is the point.
Yeah, so usually there's this kind of Wile E. Coyote year you get after your really good ex leaves.
Right.
Because, you know, you still have a lot of the players who were coached right. under him, and there's this kind of like a continuation for a year, and then you kind of have a drop-off. And I feel like this is –
is the drop off.
This is when Penn State looks
when
down.
You see, what do you have? Got 20 players in the portal? I mean, some crazy number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign.
They lost their guy who's going to be like their fifth year senior starting quarterback to
right.
the portal. And maybe he wasn't going to be this quarterback, and that's why he went in the portal. But
maybe.
You're relying on.
Well, he went to go play for Joe Moorhead, so he knows where it's at. Yeah.
I think Penn State on the road will not be as scary, but and it's late in the year, relatively late. Mid-year, I guess. But by that time, I think they're having enough troubles that Franklin is looking elsewhere. I think the I see implosion.
I mean, the one thing that gives me a little bit of pause is they have a lot of dudes in their front seven. Mm-hmm. So they have Gross Matos
it's
back.
It's Penn State. They got guys.
They have Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
He's going to be like a sophomore. He's a linebacker who's like a five-star who's supposed to be a defensive end. And they're like, oh, why don't you play linebacker? And it just worked.
It's linebacker you, Brian.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean,
but yes, it is. It is a little odd. Yeah, they put him at weak side linebacker, and he just is murdering.
It just works.
Yeah,
it doesn't. It shouldn't. It shouldn't actually work, but it does. So that's the kind of thing that pops out is like, I don't know about this, but yeah,
I see them in trouble. I think Michigan State is going that direction also. Not fast
next year. Michigan State is like looking at the precipice right now.
Sad part for Michigan fans, of course, is it doesn't matter in some ways that once you. 2015, 2017, et cetera. You tee it up. That's a voodoo game. So maybe it doesn't matter what they're doing otherwise. I did the math on this one. When D'Antonio won 8 of his 10 games, that a stretch that Big E Munn did not match, Duffy Doherty did not match against weak Michigan teams. They won national titles at State during the 50s and 60s. They did not match 8-2. Of those 8 victories, 4 of them were upsets. Michigan was favored to win 6 of the 10, incredibly. So that's D'Antonio's got the upset thing down. So that's a weird part there. But I think Michigan State will be down this year, relatively. I think
they pulled the like Brady Hoke deck chairs thing with their coaches. And it's like
Brady Hoke didn't do it nearly as much as he did. He like grabbed grabbed like defensive coach and made him like the receivers coach.
They're also going with co-defensive coordinators, co-offensive coordinators. Sorry, these are military operations, man. There has to be a chain of command. Basketball, maybe that works fine. Hockey works fine. And football does not work at all.
They have 3 guys on their offensive staff who've been offensive coordinators at Michigan State now. And all 3 of them are offensive line coaches. And they got them, like, one guy's on tight ends, I guess. Like, one guy's on defense. It's ridiculous.
And why is he so reluctant to get somebody in who can do this job? I don't get that.
I think it's just you get to a certain point and you've had so much success with these guys and you have to, like, act like you're fixing the problem, but
I see. Well, maybe.
I think, I mean, that happened under Lloyd Carr too, where there were obviously some assistants who were just like not really hacking anymore, but they kind of stayed on. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that Harbaugh has never done. Like, you know, they give Pep Hamilton a 2-year contract for like $1 billion, and 1 year in, you're like, why don't you go to the XFL? So, I mean, that's
which I don't think is a bad move for what it's worth.
No, I mean, I don't either. I think that's for Pep or for.
Harbaugh in this case.
Okay, and Harbaugh in this case. You know, like, I think that for the first time since Rodriguez is around, Michigan is going to have an offense that could credibly claim to be, like, on the cutting edge. And Harbaugh's the only person who could do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward. Yeah. I think it's going to pay off really.
You have to give him credit also. How many 14-year NFL quarterbacks give the keys to a guy who's 34 years old who was not, you know, driving when you're in the NFL. He did it. And you see in the book also, 2017, everyone knows how unhappy that year was. It was worse than 8-5 in many ways. He met with Karon Higdon. He met with, you read the book, of course. He met with Chase Winovich, and he said, you know, come to Jesus. What went wrong? And they told him. They absolutely told him. He said, you know, strength we don't like, the food we don't like, X, Y, and Z. And he changed all that to great effect. Changed the way he picked captains, changed the way they handled bye weeks. And this year, the big change, of course, eclipses them all, and that's handing the keys to a 34-year-old guy.
Yeah.
From Alabama. So I think that that's pretty gutsy. It's pretty rare.
So, Bakes, you have more connections than the rest of us. How much, this is like the question of the offseason, how much of the offense is going to be Gattis, and how much is Harbaugh still going to be part of that program?
Gattis. Everything I'm hearing is Gattis.
I mean, he's calling the plays. But like,
it's his scheme. It's his.
But Harbaugh still has a headset.
Oh, yeah. And look, I mean, look.
Right.
At the end of the day, he's got veto power. There's no question about that. And let's also concede for – let's stipulate in legal terms, Harbaugh's not an idiot. He knows some offense. He played for
the NFL. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. He knows what needs to happen next. But by all accounts, the key's been handed over. And
you can just see that in the way that the spring game went.
Like, well, exactly. Yeah, like, and the biggest thing is not, okay, yeah, it's spread and so on and so forth. The biggest thing I talked to the players about is up-tempo. And Chase said that about Ohio State. Yeah, we went from the, you know, from man-to-man to zone, this zone, that. That's not, that didn't help, and they had answers. But that, what killed us was up-tempo. He said, second quarter, I got a tackle for loss. I'm in their backfield. I'm doing the X symbol. I'm, you know, doing my little dance. They're snapping the damn ball. And he said, I did not feel comfortable the entire game, that game. Even when it's close, you know, 1 or 2 points, and it seemed like a dogfight. He said, man, we never had our bearings. We never had our feet settled. And because it was up-tempo, it's not the schemes as such. It's just the pace of it. And now you've got that at Michigan. So that, to me, might be bigger than all the rest of it. It's just how fast they're going to go and how, I heard you on the way here, of course, how that's going to prepare them for the other teams they're going to face.
Yeah.
And, I mean, who killed you last year? Indiana, Northwestern. I mean, those are, for half at least, those guys were getting after you, slants and all that, and up-tempo and quick. And guess what? Ohio State had the tape. So.
Right. Well, and one of the things that really hurt Michigan, I mean, they were like, what, 128th in tempo or something?
Yeah, they were.
On offense?
Out of 130 teams.
They were like, it was them and Army that were, like, dead last.
And Army does it, like, specific. Right.
Right.
Army has a reason.
No, they want to cut the game in half if they can. They can't beat you in four quarters.
Right.
So
also, it's dumb to play them. But
it is, but Jim's doing it because, of course, he loves Army, Navy, and Air Force. That's why he's doing it.
He's doing it?
Yeah.
He called the shot on that one?
That's what I've heard.
Tell him stop that.
I love the military, too.
It's from the Bo playbook, I hate to tell you.
You can love the military on the other side of Eastern Michigan as well. You could pay Eastern Michigan $500,000.
Yeah, I mean, Army, you're right. I mean, as a team you prepare for that does not help with anyone else.
No.
Wishbone and so on. And they're good enough to beat you. We know that.
Yeah.
They almost beat Oklahoma. It's got to count for something.
Yeah.
But I don't see it happening. Look, Harbaugh's really good. You mentioned his staff situation. One thing he brought back from the Bo era, which is kind of lost in the meantime, is no favorites. And what one thing of Bo excelled at is he didn't, if you're an All-American, a walk-on, if you're a senior, a sophomore, did not give a damn. Whoever's playing better on Friday plays on Saturday. You have to John Wangler and Rob Lytle and Ron Simpkins. They said, screw Indiana and screw Illinois. I didn't care about that. That's a day off. That's a day at the beach on Saturday. We couldn't wait to get there because during the week, Bo was driving us nuts in front of a weak opponent. Wangler told me, if I can get to Wednesday night team dinner, all right, after 2 days of full-line practice, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I'm still the starting quarterback, hell, the rest is easy. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, no problem. Tuesday, Wednesday are scary because the guy behind me, Bo, will give him my job in a heartbeat, and I knew it. And that Jim has brought that back, and I think in a very positive way. With the coaches also, no favorites there. I think it's also a more settled environment now in the building than it has been since Jim's been here. And the players have even said, Bredesen and others, how relaxed Harbaugh seems around the building now in a way he did not seem before. And I asked him about that. He goes, yeah, because now everyone knows what the hell they're doing. The coaches do. The staffers do. How we want things done. We got the players in place. This thing is running itself to some degree instead of me having to do everything. So he feels a lot calmer now after 2017 than he did before. So got to count for something.
Indeed. So what are you feeling? Got a prediction?
They got to lose one somewhere in there.
Sure.
But I might go 11-1.
All right.
I'll stick to that. And if it's not this year, I mean, geez, pretty well lined up. The weakness I see is depth at offensive line. Warner's all that. The players vouch for him. The strength coach helped him a lot and all that stuff. he said in the book that they're at, last year they got to 8.5. He said, we got one click left. We can crank it up one more click with these guys, and he likes them. But where's the depth? And, of course, they're minus one right now. So
yeah, I think the situation there is not as bad as it's been at some points in the past. Like, Spinellis is going to be a solo on the inside. But, yeah, the tackle situation is a little bit
I would say it's better than it's been in a decade.
You got a prediction?
10-2.
10-2? Yeah.
But it'd be Ohio State.
All right, that's fine.
I'll go 11-1 and one of the weird ones in the middle.
Yeah.
One of the weird ones.
Yeah. Notre Dame, Michigan
State.
There's
just a lot of places to trip up. You could go to Penn State and play a bad game. You could go to play a bad game at Wisconsin. Army could get you. Like, there's so many.
Army could not get you. Shut up.
They're not. I don't think they are. I think Michigan's going to prepare for them like crazy, and it's going to damage our practice the rest of the year.
Yeah, I got a bye week after it. It's okay.
I think you're right about Ohio State, though. I think it's going to happen. I think odds of the law of average has got to kick in sooner or later. That's one thing.
Yeah. All right, it's been lovely having you.
It's been lovely having you, too.
Yeah.
The man uses lovely without any irony whatsoever, ever. So, thank you for that.
You used to call me, like, the master.
I still do. And
like,
hey, if you want to, you know, if you want to piss me
lieutenant.
Off. If you want to piss me off, jump on the book, of course. If you want to piss off Brian, praise his writing. It drives him nuts.
Yeah.
He feels deeply uncomfortable whenever I praise his writing. So I love doing it. Your writing's quite good, I hate to tell you.
Maybe that's just my ploy to get more praise from you.
Is it? That's voodoo. Nicely done.
All right, we got to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk about Middle Tennessee State.
It's not a real state.
Universities.
Not a state.
Being far from Ann Arbor, from San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai. But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far. Because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
Want the perfect game day outfit? Underground Printing has unique, great-fitting UM apparel and officially licensed apparel from legendary Michigan names like Woodson, Howard, Schembechler, Ufer, and more. UGP also specializes in custom-printed apparel and promotional items for groups, events, and businesses. Whether you need one shirt as a gift or 1,000 shirts for a charity walk, Underground can customize almost anything for groups large or small. To learn more, visit Underground Printing at one of our three convenient locations around Ann Arbor or online at undergroundshirts.com.
In southeastern Michigan, the yearly cost for a nursing home averages $90,000. It doesn't have to, though. Reed McCarthy founded Ann Arbor Elder Law after handling a tricky situation for his own family. Years of experience later, his boutique firm works with clients across southeast Michigan dealing with Medicaid planning, long-term care, and tax, disability, and family law, not to mention family dynamics. If you have a family member who may need that level of care, or if you're ready to start your own estate plan, Reed can give you a plan for the future. Visit AnnArborElderLaw.com or call 734-945-9693. That's 734-945-9693.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go! Let's go!
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
Welcome back to MGO Radio 5.0. Our featured artist today is Duke Cheryl from Parliament Funkadelic. Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
So apparently all of George Clinton's guys are from Michigan.
Oh, yeah?
And a bunch of them are huge Michigan fans.
Cool.
And some of them read our blog. And so I put a thing out last year to like, hey, can we have some music to put on the podcast? And he was like, yes, but it's going to take me like a while to go through all the hoops I have to go through to like use our music. So in the meantime, all of his guys like do their own stuff. So we're going to be running a whole bunch of George Clinton's guys' stuff.
That is too cool for our podcast. We do not deserve this service.
I want to get George Clinton on here. That's my goal for the year now. You heard it here live.
That would be incredible. All right. I know nothing about the Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders.
Well, the problem is if I start telling you about them, you're just going to like say, okay, podcast is over as soon as I like get to like their weights.
Do you know how tired I am? That would be fine.
Okay. They are like 50 pounds smaller than the Michigan defensive.
They're just 50 pounds smaller
at
every spot.
Each one of those guys is like 250, 260.
I saw a tweet today that Oregon State's starting slot receiver is 5'5", 140 pounds.
That's awesome.
And that's what he's like listed at.
I mean, that guy's going to die.
He looked. You remember Ryan Brand from
Yes,
from,
of course.
Maryland?
Yeah, Maryland's.
He looked like that.
Was he an Army transfer or something?
Air Force, I think.
Air Force, yeah.
But yeah, so he looked like a seventh grader running around out there. And right. This kid looks like a seventh grader. It's amazing. But this is not about. But it's kind of about Middle Tennessee. So they're tiny.
They have kind of a seventh grader out there who's awesome, by the way, Ty Lee, yeah. I learned in the process of writing this that Ty Lee is the name of a manga character. No, there's like The Last Airbender has a character named Ty Lee. And
The Last Airbender.
Yes, and she's like a 14-year-old that everyone likes to cosplay as. So finding anything about this guy was the worst Google experience of my life. It's just like
your wife's like looking over your shoulder, being like, "What are you doing?
Why are you looking at like men dressed up as like a 14-year-old girl?" No, I swear, I'm looking for the slot receiver.
Is there something you need to tell me about this?
he's a really good slot receiver.
Okay, so slot receiver.
Yeah, yeah.
Indeed.
Anyway, I had to throw some.
So Ty Lee.
Airbender. Ty Lee's pretty good. He's not that fast. He's like a
okay.
He's
tiny and slow.
He's tiny and medium speed. What he does is he's like his quarterbacks can't throw very hard. So by the time the ball gets there, he's like totally ready to like move with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just a lot of plays of like him wide open, an extra beat for that ball to get there, and then when it does, all of a sudden he's gone. And you're kind of wondering how come the tackle wasn't made, but it's...
So sort of a Giles Jackson situation, we hope?
Hope.
Where he's got like a really good shuttle and he
Giles Jackson, but slow. Let's call him
that. Yeah, that's a good idea.
But he's the star on offense. On defense, they got a safety who's really good. Their other safety, I think, is pretty good. He didn't play most of last year. And then they've got a 5'11", 206 weak side linebacker.
That's like 20 pounds lighter than Glasgow.
Yeah, so... I mean, he reminds me of Danico Salen.
Their other linebackers are both 214 pounds?
6'2", 214 is what they're both listed at.
They have a defensive tackle listed at 250?
Yes. He was the nose last year.
What?
Yeah, I got a couple of clips of that happen, of like, just to like, so you could see what that looks like. He's really like 6 feet tall and 250. I don't know why they list him at 6'2". Well, no, I do, but.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Yeah, they're small, they get pushed out of the way.
Their strong safety is bigger than all of their linebackers.
Yeah.
All right, so that's...
As soon as I show you just the roster, like I'd love to talk about these guys and like the style of play. It's Schaefer, right? So it's Scott Schaefer as their defensive coordinator. So he's going to play a 4-3 where he's blitzing linebackers.
I don't know what Scott Schaefer wants to do on defense. I know what he's been told to do.
You know, it's really funny. He's actually running something like a 3-3-5.
Well, it looks like he doesn't have a choice.
Right, exactly. But it's a 4-3 with like a 3-3-5 mentality.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's, you know, this is his third year there, and I'm sure this is like a reclamation project. So he's going to get the next job out of here. So
they're tiny.
Yeah, Reed Blankenship is the safety that you got to worry about. So
okay.
Both the cornerbacks are new.
I'm choosing not to worry about him.
Yeah, Greg Great is the guy who won the job first, and then they were banging out for the other position.
All right, so Michigan's a 35-point favorite in this game.
That's fair.
What are we looking for after the game? Like, what'll make you feel better about the season?
Oh, God, there's nothing to learn from this.
There's nothing?
Okay, I mean, the offense, are they bombing it? Or is, like, this is going to be a hard game for Harbaugh not to just, like, want to go back and tractor them?
Yeah.
Because they are very, a 250-pound defensive tackle.
Like, I know. I heard
how
that.
How are you not going to tractor that guy? So, and, like, you could just get out of this game and, you know, a few possessions.
All right. What about Brad Hawkins against Ty Lee?
Okay.
Is that something we can look for? Is like, okay, if that goes well, that feels good?
Yeah, or just at least how they're lining up against him. Are they going to bring the linebackers and, like, actually run their defense? Or are they going to, like, play these guys? Because, I think you can get up on them and just kind of run your stuff for a while.
Any interesting kickers going on for a guy from Bulgaria or Australia or anything?
Cruz Holt!
Is that an Arrested Development reference?
Of course it is. Cruz Holt.
So
he's actually got a funny stat line. He's 18 to 24 in the season, 1-7 after 40. And I watched one of his beyond 40 kicks.
So he's a chip shot guy.
Yeah, and it lands. Four yards.
I don't need a scouting report of the kicker.
But I want a kick return.
I need to tell you my opinion about Arrested Development.
Oh, sure.
I've never watched it, and I can't because everybody else I knew was always quoting it. And it was so annoying that I didn't want to give them the pleasure. So you just did it again.
That's because it's a great show, Brian.
I know, but I'm never going to watch it.
That's ridiculous.
It is. It is. I'm spiting myself.
It really is.
It is.
That'd be like, I'm not watching The Wire because everyone loves The Wire.
Isn't that much more interesting than Middle Tennessee's Kicker, though?
That's the problem.
Oh, man. Do we need to talk more about this?
I wanted to talk about Greg Great because they had him playing safety last year, and he's the first guy to win a cornerback job. And he's another one of those little midgets who doesn't look like he should be on a football field. And he was the first guy to win the cornerback job. They're fighting over the other one. So, like, our receivers versus that guy? Can we...
All right. Did that get cough button? No, that got cough button. Me talking.
It was a little late on that.
All right. Very professional podcast.
We've been... there's not much. You know, their offense is like the Maryland offense from last year. Like the Canada offense.
The what?
Where they always have
the Canada is off.
Believe in tight ends.
Canada had a lot of tight ends. Like do they line up under center?
They'll do a lot of under center, yeah.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, but I mean, they're probably not going to be this year because they replaced their quarterback. Oh. They had Brent Stockstill was their quarterback for the last 4 years.
Brent.
He's the coach's son, and he was like a good 90% of their offense. Because it was quick passing to get around their offensive tackles who are like, 6'2", 275 is their left tackle.
We need to stop talking about this.
I'm making the music gesture. I understand that there's not much more to talk about with MTSU.
All right, the music gesture has been interpreted.
So that's our first podcast.
It's like tradition now to have bacon on when I'm bleezed out of my mind with tiredness.
I can't have him on here when you're like, you know,
sane.
You might say something mean to him or something.
All right, thank you for being with us for another season of MGAR Radio. Hopefully, this will be the year. And if it's not, pairing beers.
Yes. I think we need more time in this thing.
Yeah, that's good.
Better than